but the observance of the right conduct of man to man or the regaining of the purity of this natural love will not bring about the great reconciliation to God in the divine sense, that is, make man at one with the Father in his divinity and immortality. Atonement was not considered as important by men, after my early followers died, as the teachings that should control them in their conduct towards one another, that is, what may be called my moral teachings. In those days the great majority of men who professed to follow my teachings, as are written in the Bible that the Church adopted, thought more of the rewards and happiness that might come to them as mortals than to those that might come to them after they became spirits, just as the Jews had thought for all the long years prior to my coming. These teachings were merely those of the earth, and as such teachings, whether of the Old Testament or any other teachings recognized by them as governing their conduct as mere mortals, were of more importance to them than were the teachings that showed them the way to the celestial kingdom. And when the church which my apostles founded, came under the control and government 301, of men with only the temporal interests at heart, the greater importance was attached to those things which, as the rulers and leaders of the church thought, would cause the people to conduct themselves in such a way as would tend to increase the power and influence of the church. And hence, the great truth of the new birth was neglected, and salvation was declared to be by means that could be more readily utilized by the officials of the church. In other words, salvation became a thing which depended on the church and not on the individual. So you see the great harm that was done by these teachings and the great power the church acquired. Salvation is a thing between God and the individual, and can be obtained only by the individual becoming at one with the Father, who cares not for the teachings of the church or of man, unless these teachings will bring the souls of men in harmony with him. I say, cares not, but that does not just express what I mean, for God does care whenever his creatures are taught false doctrines, as he is waiting and anxious to bestow upon every man his divine love. But even he cannot or will not make such bestowal, unless man follows the plan which he has prescribed. And he could not have adopted any other plan, for the only way in which men can become at one with him is to become, as it were, a part of him, to partake of his nature and attributes, and unless the soul of man receives from the Father these qualities, it can never become at one with him. As Luke said, my death or blood or any supposed vicarious atonement could not have made a man's soul a possessor of the divine love of the Father, because they could not bring man into that relationship with the Father that would cause the soul of man to open up to the inflowing of this love. Let no man suppose that by a mere belief in me as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, or that I died for him, he can become at one with the Father, for it is not true, and has worked great harm to mankind. Only the pure, honest, sincere aspirations of the soul of a man for this great love of the Father can possibly bring about this atonement that is necessary in order for that man to become a part of God's divinity and partake of his divine nature. I have written enough and will close. Your brother and friend, Jesus. January 5, 1916, The Paget Messages 1916. I am here, Jesus. I merely want to say that I am glad to see that you are in condition of soul which makes you more at one with the Father, and which must convince you that the love of the Father is flowing into your soul in more abundant streams of power and quantity. I know that you have not been in the best condition of mind as regards your beliefs and doubts during the past few days, but you must not let such experience discourage you, for such conditions will arise as long as you are in the flesh, and you must not think that, because of the doubts, you are not receiving this love in your soul, for you are, and after a while it will become so very abundant that the doubts will rarely appear to disconcert you. I will not write much tonight, as I think you are in need of meditation over what has been written you lately, before more truths shall be presented to you. So think of what has been written you and you will find yourself much benefited. With all my love, I'm your brother and friend, Jesus. I am your friend in Christ and desire to write a few lines, but it will not be about religious matters, for I heard what the Master said, and he knows what is best. Well, I am in the seventh sphere and am very happy and enjoy all the delights of a soul redeemed, and am in the way of progress to the higher spheres where some of your band live. How beautiful must be their homes, because, When they come to the lower spheres, they have such beauty and are so filled with the Father's love that I know they must live in homes of transcendent beauty where happiness is supreme. I am not one who knows all that there is in the heavens provided by the Father, but I know enough to say, that no eye of man has seen and neither has his heart conceived of the wonderful things that the Father has prepared for those who love him and do his will. In our sphere the glory of our habitations and surroundings that we have are beyond all conceptions of mortals, and beyond all the powers which we have to describe. Your language is poor indeed when we attempt to use it, to describe our homes and our happiness. Never a sigh, nor a thought tainted with the slightest flavor of unhappiness or discontent. All our wishes are gratified, and love reigns eternally and without stint. Never, when on earth, did I conceive that 302, one man could love another as one spirit here loves his brother spirit. The mine and thine are truly the ours, and no spirit is so happy as when he is doing something to make another spirit happier, and then, love between the opposite sexes is so pure and glorified. My home is not in any of the cities, but is in the country, among beautiful fields and woods where the purest waters flow in silver streams of living light, and the birds of paradise in all their glorious plumage sing and make merry the echoes of the hills and rocks, for we have hills and rocks as well as plains and beautiful meadows and placid lakes and shining waterfalls, all praising God for his goodness. So why will not every mortal try to attain to this heavenly condition of love and happiness, when it is so easy for him to do so? The divine love is waiting for all, and needs only the seeking and the believing in order to make the mortal an heir to all the glories of this heavenly place. But the mind of man, in its superimposed importance and in the conceit of the wonderful powers of his reasoning faculties, keeps the simple childlike faith from making him a child of the kingdom. Oh, I tell you, if mortals only knew what is here ready for them to obtain and make their own, they would not let the supposed greatness of their minds, or the cares and ambitions and desires for earthly possessions keep them from seeking this great and glorious inheritance, which is theirs by merely claiming it in the way made known by the Master. And he, what can I say of him? The most glorious and beautiful and loving of all the spirits in God's universe. When on earth I looked upon him and worshipped him as God, sitting on the right hand of the Father, way up in the high heavens, away off waiting for the coming of the great judgment day, when he would separate the sheep from the goats and send each to his eternal place of habitation, whether to hell or heaven only he knew, and I did not and could not until the great judgment should be pronounced. But now, when I see him as he is, and know that he is my friend and elder brother, a spirit such as I am, with only love for his younger brethren, be they saints or sinners, and a great longing that all may come and partake of the feast which the Father has prepared, I feel that the loving brother and friend is more to me and my happiness is greater than when I looked upon him as the God of judgment, having his habitation away off beyond my vision or reach. He is so loving and so pure and so humble. Why his very humility makes us all love him almost to the Paget Messages 1916, adoration, and if you could only see him, you would not be surprised that we love him so much. Well, my friend, I have written a little more than I intended, but I am so filled with love and so happy in having such a friend as the Master, that I can hardly restrain myself. I will come again sometime and write you upon some spiritual truth, which I so much want you to know. When on earth I was not an orthodox to the full extent, but my early belief that Jesus was a part of the Godhead I did not succeed in getting rid of, although my mind often rebelled at the thought. But the early teachings of my mother lingered with me, and maturer thoughts and development of mind could never entirely eradicate this belief in Jesus as being part of God. Some have said and thought that I was almost an infidel, but this is untrue, for I always believed firmly in the Father and, as I have told you, in Jesus. I was also to some extent a spiritualist. 14, that is I believed in the communications of spirits with mortals, as on numerous occasions I have had such communications, and have acted on advice that I received through them. But I never learned from any of these communications any of the higher truths which I now know, and which are so important for mortals to know, and which, if men only knew and taught, would make their religion alive, virile, all-pervading and satisfying religion. We are all interested in your work, and are co-workers with you in revealing these great truths. May God bless and prosper you and cause you to see the realities of the great divine love, is the prayer of your brother in Christ, A. Lincoln. I am a spirit, who cannot tell you of the joys of heaven, but I can describe the horrors of hell, for just as these other spirits described to you their homes of beauty and happiness, I can describe my home of ugliness and torment. Do you wish me to do so? Well, know then, that when I lived on earth I was a man of very considerable intellectual powers and acquirements, and also of an intense animal nature, so much so, that it overcame my judgment and what moral qualities I had, and I became at last a slave to my appetites, which were varied, especially my appetite for drink. I had many friends of position, social and otherwise, and I was considered a brilliant newspaper writer, and had refers to the book written by Mrs. Nettie Maynard Colburn entitled, Was Abraham Lincoln a Spiritualist? 14. Access to the inner political circles that were then in control of the government. My weakness, or rather the effect of the strength of my animal nature, was known to many of my friends, and they, in many ways, tried to help me and rescue me from my evil and destructive course of living, and, at times, I would succeed in reforming my conduct, but, alas, not for any great length of time, when I would again relapse into my deplorable habits and become the controlled victim of my destroying appetites. Of course, human friendship and sympathy had their limits, and finally my friends gave me up as lost and past redemption, and I surely and quickly sunk lower and lower in my moral condition, and at last, died a drunkard, unwept and unsung except for the evil that I had done. It was undoubtedly a relief to my friends and acquaintances when I passed over, and forever relieved them of the shadow of my presence and the ghost of what I had been. But such was my end, and when I came to the spirit world I found that I still was deserted by friends who had become spirits before me, except some who liked the flowing bowl as I did on earth, and who were inhabitants of the unattractive place that I found myself in when my habitation became fixed. I never, when on earth, thought much of the future life, except to convince myself that there was no hell, and if there was a God he was not bothered about me, a mere man of many millions. But oh, the fatal mistake, and the unexpected realization of the fact that there is a hell. Whether there is a God I don't know, for I have never seen him or felt his influence. But since I came to you, and heard the messages of those two spirits who describe their wonderful homes and their condition of happiness, and ascribe them all to the kindness and care of God, I have commenced to think that there may be a God, and that my mistake was greater than I have heretofore realized. But this is a digression from what I started out to write. That there is a hell, I know to my sorrow and sufferings, for I have been the occupant of one for oh these many years, and it is always the same place of horrors and darkness, except sometime it is lighted by the flame of lurid light that comes from the anger and sufferings of some unfortunate like myself. In this hell of mine, and there are many like it, instead of beautiful homes, as the other spirits described, we have dirty, rotten hovels all crooked and decayed, with all the foul smells of a charnel. 303, the Paget Messages 1916, house 10 times intensified, and instead of beautiful lawns and green meadows and leafy woods filled with musical birds making the echoes ring with their songs, we have barren wastes, and holes of darkness and gloom and the cries and cursings of spirits of damnation without hope, and instead of living, silvery waters we have stagnant pools filled with all kinds of repulsive reptiles and vermin, and smells of inexpressible, nauseating stinks. I tell you that these are all real, and not creatures of the imagination or the outflowing of bitter recollections. And as for love, it has never shown its humanizing face in all the years that I have been here, only cursings and hatred and bitter scathings and imprecations, and grinning spirits with their witch-like cacklings. No rest, no hope, no kind words or ministering hand to wipe away the scalding tears which so often flow in mighty volumes. No, hell is real and hell is here. We do not have any fire and brimstone, or grinning devils with pitchforks and hoofs and horns as the churches teach, But what is the need or necessity for such accompaniments? They would not add to the horrors or to our torments. I tell you, my friend, that I have faintly described our homes in these infernal regions, and I cannot picture them as they are. But the horror and pity of it all is that hope does not come to us with one faint smile to encourage us that there may at some time be an ending to all these torments, and in our hopeless despair we realize that our doom is fixed for all eternity. As the rich man in hell said, if I could only send Lazarus to tell my poor, erring brothers on earth of what awaits them, how gladly I would do so and save their souls from the eternal torment. Well, I have written you a long letter and am tired, because it is the first time that I have attempted to write for many long years, and I find some difficulty in gathering my thoughts so as to be able to write in an intelligent and collected manner. So I must stop. Well, I will say that you are the best friend that I have had since I became an outcast while on earth, and that I will do whatever you may advise, but you must not expect me to have much hope, not doubting your desire to help me, but merely your ability. Well, I don't understand, but I will trust you and will try to believe what you say, only don't create in me that of which I have been deprived of for so long, I mean hope, and have me disappointed. Well, I have looked as you advised, and see some spirits who are so beautiful and so 304 bright that I can scarcely look at them. Never before have I seen such spirits or imagined that such could exist. They must be gods, or why all the great happiness and beauty and love which they have? Tell me, what does it all mean? Is it a star of hope that has come to me from afar, and bids me trust that these hells shall home forever? Oh, tell me, I pray you, are they the spirits of real mortals who lived and died as I did? Such love I have never seen, and they look at me with such encouragement and almost human eyes of love, and beckon me to come with them. I have asked if Mr. Riddle is there, and one spirit comes to me and says yes, and that he is glad to have me come with him, as he knew me on earth and is acquainted with my sad life. And now I remember him, for he was a friend who lived in the same city as I did. He says, come, George Dash, and I will try to show you the way to light and relief from your sufferings. And I am going, and as I go a beautiful, glorious spirit comes to me and lays her hand on my head and says, God bless you, my brother, and may his divine mercy be yours, and she tells me that they all love me and will help me. Oh, tell me, what does it all mean? Am I dreaming? Are you real and are they real, or am I in one of the deliriums that I used to have on earth? Oh, so beautiful and heavenly. But they say no, that they are real spirits and once lived on earth, sinful mortals like myself. How can I ever thank you? I am overcome and cannot write more, but I will come again. So, my dear friend, good night, for I am going. My name is George H. Butler, and I died in 1899. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, my dear, you have had a variety of writings tonight, and I have been greatly impressed with the last message that you received, for the writer was a very intelligent spirit and seemed to be without hope in his soul. He was a very dark spirit and did not seem to have any love in his soul, but was the picture of despair and grief. He firmly believed that his position in hell was fixed for all eternity, and hence the hopeless despair in which he was. I am so glad that he came to you and described these hells, for he was capable, and no one can describe them as he who has lived in them for many years and suffered and experienced all their torments. He seems to be very grateful, and I think that hope has come to him. He has gone with Mr. The Paget Messages 1916, Riddle, who is much interested in him. We will all try to help him to progress. So you must pray for him now, we all will. It is late, and I will not write more. Your own true and loving Helen. January 7, 1916. I am here, John. Well, I came to write only a few lines as you are not feeling too well and not in condition to receive any formal message tonight. But I will say that notwithstanding what you have read tonight in reference to your material affairs, you must have faith and expect that our promises will soon be realized. The work must be done and you must be placed in condition to do it without interference. If you could realize the powers that are at work in their endeavor to bring about what is necessary to place you in condition to do this work as we desire it to be done, You would not lose faith or doubt that all the promises made will be fulfilled. We recognize to the fullest the importance of this matter, and we will not permit much more time to elapse until the end desired is brought about. You and your friend who is interested in the means that we have adopted for bringing the consummation of our plans will soon be enabled to start the business that we have told you of, and you must both have faith. I will not write more tonight, and with my love to you and your friend, who is present, I will say good night and God bless you both. Your brother in Christ, John. January 10, 1916. I am here, mother of Leslie. I am here, the mother of the dear boy, and I want to tell him that I am exceedingly happy in my new home, as I am now in the first celestial sphere of which he has heard a great deal, and what he has heard is all true and more besides. I cannot attempt to tell him at this time what a glorious home I have, and how the good Father has provided for my happiness everything that the heart and soul can wish for. This is the result of that divine love which he talks so much about, and which he has to some extent, and which I know will be his in an abundant degree, even before he comes to the spirit world. There is no conception of what the power of this great love can do to make mortals and spirits both happy, and the mortal who learns 305. The way to possess it is blessed above every other mortal of your earth life. But he must not think that because I am so happy and so much nearer the fountainhead of the Father's love, that I am not still interested in him, and loving him with all my heart, for it is a fact that the more of this great love that I receive into my soul, the more love flows from me to him, and the more my efforts are to have him get into his soul this divine love. And the knowledge that he is an accepted child of the Father and is an heir to the great kingdom which Jesus is now establishing in these celestial spheres. Well, I must not write very much tonight as it is late, but I do want him to know that I and all his folks who are in these higher spheres are trying to help him, and make him feel the influence of our love and blessing. So tell him to believe in his mother and in the Master with all his heart and soul. His father is also very happy and is progressing, and I know is endeavoring with all his faith to progress to my sphere, and get with me, and then we will be one in actual living as well as in the knowledge that we are one and always have been. So with all my love, I will say good night, and thanking you I will leave my love for my boy in the prayer of a mother that he may continue in the favor of God and in the progress of his soul. His mother, Priscilla Stone. I am here, Jesus. I come tonight to tell you of a truth which is important to all mankind, and which I desire that you receive just as I write it, so give your best care to receiving just what I shall attempt to write. I have read with you tonight many sayings contained in the alleged epistles of Paul and Peter, and I realize that they do not seem to be consistent with the truth that has been declared to you by myself and by the apostles who have written to you. And I desire that you shall understand some of these inconsistencies and discard from your mind these sayings of the epistles wherever they do not agree with what we have written or what we shall write. In the first place, the continual reference of these epistles to my being God is all wrong and must not be believed. Also the statement that my blood washes away sin, or that I died on the cross for the salvation of men, or that I took upon myself the sins of mankind and thereby relieved them from the burden of their sins, and there, the Paget Messages 1916, punishment which they must suffer in expiation of their evil deeds and thoughts. Again, when it said, that from the beginning the Father had foreordained my death on the cross that man might be redeemed from the penalties of sin in all men who lived thereafter, are all wrong and have no foundation as facts in the plan of God for the salvation of man and the restoring of the harmony of his universe and the eradication of all sin and error from the world. Neither Paul nor Peter wrote these things, and never did I teach them, for they are not in accord with the great plan of salvation, and the further away will be the realization by them of the truth of the only plan the Father has provided for their redemption, which I came to earth to declare and explain to my apostles first, and then to the whole world. In these epistles too much emphasis is given to the importance of faith and works. I mean faith in the mere beliefs which these epistles taught followed by works, and not enough importance to the foundation truth of man's redemption from sin and becoming reconciled to the Father. I mean the new birth by the inflowing into their souls of the divine love of the Father's through the ministrations of the Holy Spirit. Many of their teachings as to man's conduct towards man and as to the lives that the recipients of these truths should lead as effecting their own purification and becoming in a condition of righteousness, are true, and are as applicable to the conduct and living of men today as they were in the days in which the apostles taught. But when the epistles teach or lead men in any particular to understand that these, what may be called merely moral principles, will enable a man by their observance to enter into the kingdom of God, the celestial kingdom, they are false and misleading, and men when they become spirits will realize that while leading the lives which these teachings call them to lead, they will become very happy and occupy conditions and positions in the spirit world that will make their happiness far superior to that which they enjoy on earth and even enable them to become occupants of higher spiritual spheres, yet they will never be permitted to enter the kingdom of the Father, which can only be attained to by the possession of divine love. So I say, men must understand and realize the difference between the results to them from leading merely good and moral lives which affect and develop the natural love and those results which ensue from the new birth. 306. I have attempted to explain to you why the great and important truth of my mission to earth, as I explained it to my apostles, and as was taught by them and written by them, was not preserved and contained in the Bible as now written and accepted by the Church as canonical. The great desire in those days was to show and impress upon men those teachings which affected their conduct on earth, and to hold out to them the rewards that would follow such living, and also the rewards which would follow their lives in the spirit world which would become their homes after death. And, as I have said, the leading of lives in accordance with these teachings would ensure men a great happiness in the spirit world, but not the happiness which my teachings, if observed, would lead to. In the various copyings and compilations of the writings of the apostles, many changes from the originals were made, and those persons who perform this work, and I mean by this the dignitaries and rulers of the church, did not know the difference between those things which would bring about a purification of the natural love, and those things which were necessary to fit a soul for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And hence, when they came to perform this work, they made the error of teaching that the living of the moral life would entitle the soul to a reward which they supposed would be the kingdom of heaven and immortality. And this erroneous teaching has prevented many a man from gaining the right to the kingdom of heaven, as they honestly and sincerely believed would be theirs, when they came to pass into the spirit world. Many of these teachings are intended to make a reformation in the lives of men and to purge their souls from sin and error so far as the natural love forms a part of the condition of the soul. I taught these moral truths to a very large extent, for such teachings were necessary, because men's will was out of harmony with God's laws, which affected the natural love, as well as out of harmony with the laws that affected the divine love of the Father. It is the object and plan of God to bring into harmony both of these loves, and thereby enable man to enjoy those things which are provided and waiting for him. As I said, when on earth, narrow is the way and strait is the gate which leads to life everlasting and few there be that enter therein, I repeat now, for it is apparent from the observation of the way in which mankind from the beginning have exercised their wills, which God leaves free to their own volition, that a vast majority of men will never enter in at the strait, the Paget Messages 1916, gate, but be contented to live in the spheres and happiness which their natural love, in its perfect state and progress, will fit them for. That all men will ultimately be brought into harmony with God, in either the natural love or in the higher one, is certain, and that all sin and error will finally be eradicated from God's universe is decreed. But the time will depend to a great extent upon the wills and desires of men, and, hence, while my great mission in coming to earth and teaching men was to show the way to the celestial kingdom, yet a lesser part of my mission was to teach them a way to their redemption from sin and error that would result in the purification of the natural love. To my great regret and to the untold injury to man, my moral teachings were more at large set forth in portions of the Bible, as now accepted, than were my teachings of the higher truths. I will not write more tonight but will continue later. Well, my dear brother, I see that you are in a much better condition spiritually than you have been for some time, and you must thank the Father for it. Your conception of last night's experience is true, and you received a wonderful amount of the divine love, and I was with you in love and blessing. So continue to pray and trust in the Father and you will realize a wonderful happiness and power and peace. I must stop now, your brother and friend, Jesus. January 11, 1916. I am here, Jesus. I will continue my discourse of last night.